Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 68. Where's that 68? There it is.
Look at them graphics.
How have we done this?
Without Sue, we could not do that. Thank you, Sue.
We could not. Absolutely. We're going to continue with our Audio Masters Roundtable for Tech Talk this week. We've got Cliff Zelman and Uncle Roy and Andrew Feliciano and Jordan Reynolds, all guys that know the stuff we're all supposed to know as voice actors. So if you got a question, throw it in the chat room because these guys know how to answer it.
If you're live.
Otherwise, you're going to be writing and it's going to go, whoosh.
Why are they ignoring me?
Exactly.
And if you're not live, then, oh boy, am I full from that Thanksgiving meal.
That's true. All righty. VoiceOver Body Shop, Audio Masters Roundtable, Tech Talk, coming up right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittam, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver Home Studio Master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to thrive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, greetings and good evening or good afternoon or whatever time you're watching this, especially if you're watching right now. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
And right now we're going to be joined by the Audio Masters Roundtable. George and I like to do this, you know, every year when we can. We haven't had a chance. During the pandemic, it was, you know, we just forgot about doing that because we were just busy trying to do what we could. And
I know, it's amazing how long it's been, but I'm so glad we did it again. These are the OG guys right here.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And they're the ones that get your audio. They're the ones that, you know, there's probably only a handful of people on the face of God's green earth that actually understand what we're talking about. People who are just getting into voice acting and they're learning the technology and stuff. It's really, really important that they not just watch YouTube videos from everybody, you know, who's like, oh, here's how you build a booth and here's how you do that. There are professionals out there and they're here with us tonight talking about it. But, you know, to lead things off, it's important to know that this is really what George and I do professionally. I'm a full-time voice actor, but I also help people with their home studios. And I've been doing it for a long time. And George you were really one of the first people to really, you know, talk to people about, you know, getting home studios up and running. You worked with a lot of people here in Hollywood. And
that's because I worked with Don LaFontaine like in 2005.
Yeah.
And he said, nobody does this. And when Don LaFontaine tells you nobody's doing this voiceover home studio tech support stuff, you listen. That's
absolutely
why I'm doing it.
So if you want to work with the guys that actually know what they're talking about, aside from these guys who are, you know, it amazes me some of the stuff that some people throw out there. Oh, you got to have all this heavy equipment, and because that's what the engineers want. And we're going to talk to some actual engineers here, and they're going to tell you exactly what they want. Plus, we want to have your questions answered. But if you want to work with George, where would one go if they would like to learn from you and be supported by you professionally?
You head on over to georgethe.tech. Yes, that's the complete domain, georgethe.tech. My name is my address. You can check out the drop-down menu on there for all the different types of services I provide. Some of those are as simple as a sound check or as complex as let's design your dream recording studio in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Whatever.
Sure.
We'll be ready to help you. We've got a team of folks also here to support if I'm booked up. A couple of them are here tonight, actually, specifically Andrew Feliciano also is on One Eye Tech team. And Dan Leonard is in there, too, because we work together. When there's an emergency and I can't be reached, I've got backup. That's an amazing thing.
Yeah, my beeper goes off.
It's not always easy, but we try our best to deal with emergency tech support requests when they do come up. But that's it. And Dan, what's your home on the web for tech support and everything home studios for voiceover or vice-versa?
It's pretty simple. It's homevoiceoverstudio.com. Yeah, I got that URL. If you go over there, you'll see the services that I offer. And, I do a lot of, I like teaching one-on-one. If you really don't understand what you're doing and, you're a talented voice actor, you really want to get into it, what I'll do is make sure that if you're auditioning, your audio is not going to be the thing that's going to prevent you from getting work. So, we'll teach you all the things about, mic technique and getting your room set up properly and how to set levels, which apparently no coach out there seems to understand in any way, shape, or form. And George and I end up mopping up after a lot of these people. So go on over to the homevoiceoverstudio.com. Most importantly, if you've got your studio set up and you want to get your audio analyzed, scroll to the bottom of the page. Although we're reworking the page, we're going to move it up to the top of the page. And that's my specimen collection cup, which gets filled up with all sorts of interesting audio. And I will give you a very thorough analysis for $25 and tell you your audio either is outstanding or we need to probably talk a little bit further. So go on over there. All right, let's proceed with our Audio Masters Roundtable and introduce our guests once again, if you were here with us last week. Director of Talent Development at ACM Talent Automotive, Cliff Zellman. Cliff, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Voiceover coach, killer demo producer, and home studio expert at Antland Productions, Uncle Roy Yokelson.
Roy. You can never be too safe with the pandemic. Because, we're 6,000 miles away apart? So you can take your masks off now, kids. How's that?
What's the right EQ curve, Uncle Roy?
It depends on how many layers you got going now. Okay. Now it sounds like 58,
Our other panelist, a voice actor, audio ninja. I'll have to ask him about that. Celebrity impressionist and demo producer, the one and only Jordan Reynolds. Jordan, welcome.
Hey, good to be back. It's been a long time.
All righty. And we've got the owner and general manager of an actual Hollywood recording studio, Voice Tracks West, Andrew Feliciano. Andrew, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Jordan, I want to hear your imitation of Cliff. No, forget it.
He said celebrity.
He said celebrity.
Oh, damn. No. Cliff is just always so happy. And
I am
he
happy.
Just always has so much passion when he talks to you.
Yes.
You never feel bad after talking to Cliff.
Oh,
and same with Uncle Roy. He makes me very happy every time I hear him talk.
Oh, that's very
good. Talks about his bagels, and he brings me great joy. He's one of my good friends.
And he doesn't suck.
No. But mark your script, damn it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
My bad.
Yeah. One of the things that George and I wanted to talk about tonight was people doing their demos, because everybody produces demos. Roy, you produce demos. Jordan, you produce demos. Andrew, you produce demos over VTW. Cliff definitely produces demos because he produced some of mine. When people are getting their demos together, because somebody called me the other day, somebody I don't like very much, and hopefully he's not watching. And he's like, what does it cost to do a demo? I did one like 3 years ago, and will someone do one for like $200? No. What does a demo cost these days? I mean, at least $1,500 to get a good commercial demo done, right?
We're up in the 2400s.
Yeah, we're kicking it up a little bit.
And from Jim Michael also.
You know, demo production, a lot of people don't realize the amount of time involved. I mean, we're producing six, seven full-on spots. We're licensing the music. We're spending hours and hours in editing, music selection, mastering, which a lot of people that, you know, think they can do their own demos have no idea what mastering is, sequencing, writing the scripts. I'll tell you, you know, I do 5 to 6 to 7 normal broadcast spots a day, but it's the demos that we, you know, don't tell my clients, but it's the demos that we really dive into. And it's a legacy. It's something that's going to last a long time. Music licensing alone is not cheap. And we do this to protect you. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's a huge responsibility too, because we're saying we're going to make you the best you can be, and we're going to give you a tool to help you in your career.
It's a lot of work when it's done right.
Yeah.
There's too many shortcuts to
licensing that music, as Cliff was saying, is ridiculously expensive, but yeah. That's why we have the entire whichever libraries you have. Warner Chappell, I think, is what we're mostly using. There are others, but they're constantly adding. I don't think I've ever done a demo where I use the same piece of music as somebody else's demo. And script choice wise, I interview the people and find out what makes them tick, and they tell me about their three-legged dog, and then I write a dog food commercial about their limping dog or whatever. Because the spots should be about you. You have to be ready, and we're all going to say, if you're not ready, we're not going to do it. We don't want your money. It's a waste of your time and money. It's a waste of our time. Our time is valuable.
Our name is important, too.
That's right. We put our name on your, and we're not going to produce a crappy demo and put our name on it, and then there we go.
We had an interesting discussion where somebody brought up the term demo ready. What does it mean to be demo ready? And I think it's very simple. Book ready. When you're ready to book, you're ready to do your demo. And no time, if you're not ready to book, you're not ready to do your demo.
But how does one, get out there and put their work out there if they don't have a demo?
They coaching, have to be coaching, ready coaching. To make the demo.
What's that? Say that, Cliff?
They have to be ready to make the demo. You know, with the huge amount of resources online for people to really, in a very short amount of time, can really build up their skills. They can build up their knowledge very, very quickly. What they can't build up is their portfolio. So guys like us, we're here to help you build your portfolio. And it's legit. The spots on your demo should look like broadcast spots. I don't do my demos, like I said earlier, any different than I'm doing broadcast or demo. But let's get your portfolio up to the level of your skills. And if your skills ain't there, then your portfolio shouldn't be there either. There's plenty of time.
Yeah. Jordan, what do you think?
What exactly was the demo ready? Like, what does that mean?
How do you get out there?
Yeah.
How do you get out there? How are you considered demo ready?
Pick one.
give us your definition of demo ready.
I totally agree with Cliff, but how do you gauge that is where it wildly varies. But my opinion is, if you've gotten a blessing right from at least one and preferably two respectable coaches / or even just some sort of voice talent who is working at a high level in the genre that you are attempting or that you want to get a demo made in, if you can just a handful of people, not 5 or 10, then you're just getting everyone too much opinion. But just with that small range, if it, you need to get some sort of gauge and be like, hey, do you think I, like, if I was auditioning with my current skill set, do you think I would have a chance to be in the considered pile? Is my skill that good, right? And if you're getting into that pile, if, you know, again, it's all subjective, that's what's so hard, but if they say yes to that, then you are definitely ready to make a demo. But not, I wouldn't just trust that one coach you worked with for 2 years and they might love you and say, yeah, now we can make a demo. Yeah, just get maybe one other opinion, do some reads for them and see how it goes.
Andrew, I know you guys do those over at VTW.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, do a lot of demos. I mean, just echoing everything that's said here, and also there is a time if you've been working at it and you feel you're ready, like you've worked with coaching, you've done that, and at some point you need to make a demo. And we've done some where someone was maybe they've coached a good long time, you know, they've maybe hit a point where but they want to get out there and they really want to do it. They're ready. They have the money. You know, they're serious about it. They're going to continue working on it, you know, and we'll move into that demo cautiously. And cause at some point you need to make a demo. You don't need to wait till things are perfect. And it can be, this may be your first demo that you will maybe update as you get better, maybe add a spot, take one away that wasn't the strongest. And you know that's sort of an approach there too, because they're you know, you could wait too long, because really you know, getting out there and starting to audition, if it's pay to plays or things like that, you know, that's part of the work, and in practicing doing real things, you know, not just sort of reading the same script over and over again, you know, it's not the same as practicing guitar where you can just kind of noodle, it's similar, and so if you can get out there auditioning, but there is a base level that you want to be at before you make that demo, that you're ready enough. And, you know, potentially maybe don't wait too long either. You know, get that advice, you know, from the coaches you're working with.
Yeah, definitely, and I think, be working with a coach.
I think enough people know, it's just me. Yeah. I think enough people know to beware of the demo mills who say 7 coaching sessions and a demo or 2 demos. Who's to say that after 7? Could take a year, could take more, could take less if you're really, really, really good, if you take direction, if you have a big range. But be careful of somebody trying to sell you a package. I don't do packages. Cliff doesn't do a package. Jordan doesn't. Andrew doesn't.
No. All righty. Be ready with, you know, got to have your demo. I know there's people out there that are like, well, I've recorded some stuff. I've done a few commercials. Make sure you get permission and, you know, get that down. But, you know, if you've been able to get hired without a demo, that's pretty good. But I think people forget that this is an entrepreneurial business. It ain't up to you, other people, to find you work. You got to find it yourself. Here's an interesting question, since we're all wearing our headphones. Noel the First asks, I would love to know what everyone's favorite headphones are. Not just for sound, but comfort. Let's go around the horn here on this one. Cliff?
My favorite headphones are Focals. I'm wearing them now. I think they're built okay. I think they sound incredible. I also have Focal monitors. When I take my headphones off, it's the same thing that I'm hearing through my speakers after very slight little, you know, couple of minutes of ear adjustment. But I think they're very, very comfortable. They're not too tight. I have a pair of Sennheiser over there in the corner that I just squeeze my head. I can't wear them too long. I love Focals. I think they sound great. But, oh my God, have you guys heard the Neumanns? $500 Neumann headphones. Oh.
Yeah?
Oh my God. I put these on. I said, this is the most comfortable pair of headphones I've ever put on. And they sound unbelievable. They're expensive, $500.
Well, yeah, for $500, they better damn well sound pretty good.
These are, you know, these are $350, $400. Nothing is like those Neumanns. Oh my goodness, you win the lottery or you win a lawsuit. I don't know. Check them out. They are unbelievable. Has anybody in the group heard those? Used them?
No.
What do you think, Jordan?
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. What do I think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are definitely amongst the most comfortable I've worn.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they sound generally. Like, it's a very pleasing sound,
mm-hmm.
but accurate, not so much. It feels very nice to listen to, especially voice
sure
in it,
does.
Because it's got a nice scooped out mid range.
Yes.
And the top end
so
is
so they're heavily colored. Yeah.
I would probably say
they are.
Yeah, but they're so good for maybe mixing or doing some music stuff, but and maybe just doing like general like listening for noise floor and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if you're gonna be making EQ choices, right? Or like, oh, do I have too much sibilance? The top end actually is not very bright at all. It's really smooth. So I like the top end. Mid-range is too scooped, so it sounds like it might be a little too soft and muffled than it really is. And there's a little bit too much of a bass bump, which makes your booth resonance sound a little too heavy. But I'm kind of a freak. But I love them though overall, well, but they're just not accurate, in my opinion.
Sounds like you're describing my DT770s when you describe those.
Or my DT770s.
Don't get me started.
Or my 990s.
There's three endorsements for Biodynamic DT770 Pro 80 ohm or 990. Is it Pro and?
What are they? Pro. Yeah, these are 250 ohm. The difference being that these ones are open so we can hear what's behind us as when we're engineering.
That took a little getting used to because I was used to these ancient Sonys that are 35 years old that just sit on and that sound great, but
one band in the yellow
the AKGs and
I have those the open
go
air
to the radio station and there'd be somebody's makeup on them,
but John from Long Island Voiceover Takeover has very sensitive earlobes or something, and so these squeeze him too much, so everybody started then talking about the Audio Technica M50X. So I bought them based on, I put them on, they're a little bright. So I said, well, brighter isn't always better unless you're getting old and you can't hear highs anymore or something. If I need to brighten something, I don't want to wear headphones that are already bright because then I won't do it. Mm-hmm. And Ann Ganguza said, she texted me and said, I'm sad that you don't like my headphones.
Oh wow.
Jordan, what are you wearing right now? Those are the Jordan, you have the Sennheiser 580s or what are
these? These are the 650s. Ooh. They're open back.
Nice.
They're totally open back, meaning they don't put to the voice actors listening, meaning literally sound when they are speaking and I hear them in my headphones, and when I'm speaking, a lot of that is bleeding out. Almost as if not like it's a speaker, but like it's just kind of leaking out. Whereas closed back headphones, like the Audio Technicas that Uncle Roy was talking about, these are closed back, which are much more preferred, well, highly
for preferred
when recording. But for doing also, but if you want to use these, your room, you also not only does sound leak out of it, but the room leaks into my headphones, so I can hear my AC a little bit on, right?
Very transparent.
So, but that's what's great about them. They sound more realistic. How we our human ears hear sound in the world. We don't hear everything like through this, which is what a closed back headphone does. It just cups it off.
Yeah.
So you have to be in a quiet room to listen to these on. Recording with them is much riskier. I have everyone quiet right now. If I turned it up, I would get feedback and a squeal.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now, just because they're honestly, these and probably the Neumanns. These are probably more comfortable than the Neumanns.
Really?
These are more comfortable than Neumanns. Yeah. I love how comfortable.
Probably not good during a music session where you're overdubbing and you're playing back music and the music is leaking out into the microphone.
At least it's the same song.
I use these for production. If I'm doing like mix checks or like lately, actually, my new acoustic panels are like 4 months on back order, which is why my room sounds so bad. So from the mixing I've been doing, I've been relying on these because they're not colored. They're very smooth across the board.
Jordan,
yeah,
I feel are those like panels from a three-letter acronym company?
What does?
The acoustical panels, are they coming from a three-letter name company?
Oh, well, yeah. There's two three-letter companies.
At least, yeah.
George, did you say you thought the 770s were flat or colored?
I think they're a little bit colored. I think they're a little bit more hyped on the top end. But, it's... Jordan's done a lot of critical listening. I've done some. I think whatever it is, you have to be comfortable wearing them and you have to just trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you've learned, like I've been wearing this pair of headphones and then the ones that I had before, which are really, really thrashed and worn out since I worked for the Eagles Football Network in 2001. So I just know these dang headphones so well. I'm so familiar with them, you know. He's got some. What are those? The HD25s? What are the Sony? Those are the Sony 100s. What are those?
Yeah, it's the V. This is the MDR V150.
Mm. Yeah,
that they don't make anymore. But they're not comfortable. Man,
they sound good.
No, they were comfortable.
Really?
It's not too tight. When you bought the later ones, they made the band tighter. But these are comfortable and sound great. Yeah, there you go. Yes. Mine aren't. Yeah. So tight.
Now me, I got my Harlan Hogans here. They're flat. They're comfortable. I can wear these for 2-3 hours, and I don't even notice.
I love them too. They're a little lacking in the low end.
Well, yeah, and the fact is I don't mix music, and I don't do a lot of mixing. I hardly actually ever wear headphones when I'm recording. I don't wear headphones.
Good.
I want to hear myself in the environment in which I'm working. If you happen to live in a home with a lot of other people or somebody else who does not want to hear your studio monitors, yeah, it's good to have a good pair of headphones. These work great for me. But, you know, I generally mix using my monitors, and so I don't worry about it too much. Let's see what other questions we got here. This is a good one from Douglas Voice Guy. What a great name. Any new finds or discoveries regarding sound treatment? Both homes and rental apartments in the way of material, technology, etc. Anybody seen anything new that they're particularly excited about? Or considering what we've been saying about how people's acoustics don't seem to be so hot.
I've been curious about these felt things. I don't know if you've seen these. It's like these tiles and they have something in them and there's like felty. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like they're maybe aimed at offices more than things, but I don't know anything about like them. You know how they work or if they're good. Totally. I don't know. What's the deal?
These are a prototype from Source or from Studio Bricks.
Oh,
they're trying to print their own in-house, and these are made out of PET.
So that's they look felt.
Don't you put your face up to it and go, see what kind of.
Yeah, they're felt now.
Lick it, George, lick it.
The nice thing about these is right out of the box, zero odor.
Oh, cool.
Zero.
That's
no off-gassing.
That's a plus.
Zero odor and performance-wise, I haven't been able to try them other than they ship me literally that one panel.
Touch it. They wanted you to smell it.
Well, they did. They wanted me to smell it. Unfortunately, they shipped it in the same box with a foam panel that they're also producing. And the smell of that was in the box. So I was like, oof, these are supposed to have no odor. So once I unboxed it and left them alone for a while, picked this one up and it is, absolutely odor-free.
Nonsense.
George, what about a little plug for your tri-booth there?
Is it odor-free? Is that what you're asking?
No, environmentally. I don't mean can you recycle it. No, I mean how does it make it sound?
Acoustically, it's pretty dead. It soaks up a lot of the room reverb time. It's not 100%. So if you have an extremely reverberant room, you may not find you're getting quite enough out of it. If you're in an average room or an average bedroom or living room or situation, it does a very nice job. I find that just throwing another comforter, blanket, whatever, on the floor and then putting it on top, that's the last percentage that most people would need. And it does a really fine job. And that's just a very heavy-duty moving blanket type treatment system.
And cover your desk if it's a hard surface.
Anything that's real hard and real towel. Close to the mic.
Yeah, put a towel or a blanket on your desk.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things I hear in a lot of booths, and mine included. Like my voice, I have a lot of mid-range. Hi, I'm Jordan, and my voice and hard surfaces don't go well together. So I have a glass window. I cover the glass door with a curtain when I go in, and my monitor is the smallest I can get it, and I'm as far away as I can be and still see the screen. It's only 22 inches. So if you have like some big 24 inch or 27 inch, which is really, they're all affordable now in your booth and your mic, if like here's your mic and then your screen is right here, you know, if they're that far apart and you're only a little bit further from that mic, depending on your voice type and the other hard surfaces in your recording space, that monitor can create too much liveliness and too much of a harsh ring to it. And so I suggest people, like, literally my screen is tilted down facing the rubber on my desk. So, that's but I can cool. still see it. It looks weird just looking at it, but I've gotten used to I can read the text just fine because it has a good viewing angle. But when I tilted that, that made a huge difference.
Yeah. Also, your ceiling is not your friend.
No.
Unless you've got, you know, there you go.
Clouds.
See, Cliff's got the clouds, so his voice does not hit the ceiling and bounce back. And yep, there's the Focal monitors.
Can we see? Let's see. Can we see? We got a ton more questions. Should we go into speed round?
Oh, one more thing, real quick, talking about to piggyback Jordan. If you're using a music stand and you have a hard flat surface, throw a towel over it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can tilt that back a little bit too. That sometimes helps.
Towel it. When I listen to critical mixes, I've got two monitors. I throw towels over them, turn them off, and push them as far away as I can.
That's why I like the music stand that doesn't have a flat surface on it. You just sort of hold it out and it goes.
It's cheaper too. $10.
We got lots more questions here. We're going to do a speed round after this, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with our Audio Masters Roundtable with Uncle Roy, Jordan, Andrew, and Cliff right after these messages.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. VOBS.TV.
Let's face it, if you're a voice talent, not everyone in your family or close friends really understands what you need for your home voiceover studio.
You want a what?
Well, voiceoveressentials.com has the perfect answer when it comes to birthdays and other gift-giving for us voiceover folk. New, for the first time ever, after countless requests, voiceoveressentials.com is thrilled to offer the VoiceOver Essentials gift card. You pick the amount you want to give, and they take care of the rest. The recipient will receive an email with their digital gift card and gift code to use on anything they offer on voiceoveressentials.com. Give them or give yourself the gift of getting exactly what you want, like the Harlan Hogan VO1A microphone, the Portabooth Pro or Plus, Harlan Hogan Signature Series VoiceOver Optimized Headphones.
You want a what?
Go to voiceoveressentials.com and click on Shop and Gift Cards and choose the amount. Gift cards now at voiceoveressentials.com. Thanks, Harlan.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's the files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Well, it's that time, because there's a camera on me, to talk about Source Elements and the tool set that they bring along to the table, Source Connect being the main one. That's the one that the vast majority of voice actors want to have available in their tool set. They make many different systems and tools that allow productions to work collaboratively around the world, and it can be used on the post end for playing back mixes to the client who's someplace else, and even multi-channel or surround. And it can also be used to just simply record a voice talent, maybe you, from a long distance away directly into their timeline. Now, something that's really cool about Source Connect that's been in there for a really long time, but most don't know about, it's called Cue Manager. And what Cue Manager does is it records you, the talent, automatically in the background. So you're actually always being recorded during the session. You don't have to worry about rolling a backup. Cue Manager is doing it. And what it's doing is doing a few magical things. Not only is it recording you, it can also automatically fill in the audio if there is a network dropout in the middle of a session, which is pretty magical stuff. It just happens automatically in Pro Tools, but it can also completely replace the audio track in the session with the raw or unprocessed, non-lossy AIF or WAVE version of the audio, and it can do all of that totally automagically. It's pretty amazing stuff, and I wish more sessions would use it because it just makes the talent's life all that easier, and the production flow is so smooth. Anyway, if you want to get started, go over to source-elements.com, get yourself a 15-day free trial, get your iLock account set up, learn how to make it work, and be ready when you're called upon to do that big gig that requires Source Connect. Anyway, thanks a lot. Let's get back to all those questions. Time for rapid fire round.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
And we're back with our Audio Masters Roundtable. Somebody's got their echo on. Okay. Get your headphones on.
Hello.
We've got hello. Cliff and Uncle Roy, Andrew Feliciano, and Jordan Reynolds with us on our Audio Masters Roundtable. Still got time for a few questions here. We're going to do a speed round, as George and I like to call it. This is something we talked about last week a little bit from somebody else who's one of those two handfuls of people that actually know something about home voiceover studios. Yeah. Jim Edgar, who's on YouTube. Speaking of connecting, how much are you guys seeing SessionLink Pro or SessionLink Dub showing up? I know I'm doing a lot of dubbing work right now, and some of these companies have, it seems to have their own platforms. They're big companies, so it's like karaoke and stuff. But are you guys seeing SessionLink Pro or SessionLink Dub or any of these, any other things showing up now?
I think Connection Open is one of those companies where you can do remote looping or ADR. I know Andrew Danish has been using it a lot, and we just got to get the studios and the clients to embrace that particular platform besides Source Connect or the things you're mentioning.
I think SessionLink Pro has gained traction in Europe. It's a German product. So German clients are going to probably use it more. But anecdotally, very, very rare. Yep. But I had to troubleshoot a client last week with an Apollo. She was trying to use mic channel 2 of the Apollo to run into SessionLink Pro. And long, long story short, it didn't work very well. We just physically plugged her mic into channel 1 of the Apollo, and everything went great after that. So, no, it's that was the first time I think I've troubleshooted a SessionLink Pro session. Ever.
I love it. I love SessionLink Pro. I think it's one of the best web-based products out there.
Why do you say that?
They have a few products that all basically do a similar thing, but they aimed it like at like dubbing. And the way that they integrate the video is really nice. Where you can kind of have it gets sort of technical, but you know, they have a way where
Hush
you can
mouth,
split audio or have the guest and the talent talk to each other with the studio, or you know, so there's a lot of flexibility in how the studio can sort of manage what people are hearing and what you're sending to who. Also with sending video, and you can have, or for instance, I've done it with Zoom on for the client and SessionLink Pro for the talent, and I can separate those things, but then have video shared on both of them. I think there's been a great, it's one of my favorite of the web-based platforms out there. And, you know, it's not cheap, it's a professional tool, but it doesn't cost anything for the talent, so.
How much is that?
I think it's maybe $40 a month, which is not, it's not.
No.
No, maybe more than that. Maybe, I forget the dub, there's different tiers because there's a few different versions of it. But it's very reasonably priced, right? If a studio is using it, I feel like it's been a good product. Although I know they did go down right when I was using it one day because they must use the Microsoft Cloud because it was the same day the Microsoft Cloud went down. But it was only a couple of hours, so
that'll do it. Fascinating that we're actually talking about this now, since it wasn't that long ago when it was like, when's ISDN gonna die? And now it's like, who's using ISDN a whole lot anymore?
I mean, we still have it, but we use it as a phone patch. It's like, yeah, I have five Zephyrs and like only two of them have lines in them, but yeah, it's dead. Like
my Zephyr hasn't seen electricity since like the first Obama administration.
Here's my Zephyr museum or graveyard.
Got a whole wall of them.
I didn't get mine at Goodwill. I couldn't get anyone to buy it or even take it. I just dropped it off at Goodwill.
It's really worth it.
You know, some nerd walked in there like he was into CB radios or something.
Yeah, whoa, this is cool.
I'm gonna hook it up.
Looks really cool.
You know, for $10, if you need a 2-inch a 2-space rack filler,
there you go.
And you still have the buttons. All my buttons have popped off.
Now here's what I want to do. I want to hook them up, and put them in the lobby, but hook them up to all the rooms with a feed of just what the master bus off the mixer, just like whatever, and so you just see bouncing.
You'll see
like what's happening in the rooms, you know, because you can just turn them on and you can send them signal and they'll and the meters will just bounce.
There you go. Yeah, hey, so those meters aren't cool. Cheap.
Yeah.
Do you still need the ISDN subscription?
No, you wouldn't. You can just turn it on without anything plugged in. It'll take you
$1,100 a month.
Just go like this, you know.
Yeah.
I still have my Gentner.
I do too.
Digital hybrid phone patch. It was probably $1,500 new.
And it weighs a ton.
And it works great.
Sounds
like a phone.
Here's a question from Gerard Maguire. Hey guys, external preamps versus audio interface preamps. Are they worth it?
Don't ask Cliff. Yeah, it depends. It depends. Exactly.
The stuff today is pretty darn good. You know, you can get quality preamps and interfaces. A big question was A to D converters, you know, and ADAs, you know, or DACs actually. And I think the answer is, you know, from mid-range up to $1 billion, they pretty much sound the same.
So you really don't need to have like, and people like, oh, I got to have a Grace 101 or I've got to have, you know, these big expensive things.
I find that none
of this stuff is going to make you perform any better.
No, but man, pride of ownership of a Grace is awful cool.
But you can also put it on your website. Look what I have.
Yeah. I have two Avalons. So, you know, I'm a bit snobby when it comes to that stuff, but I use my Avalons for music as well. You know,
yeah, that's what I think. A lot of this stuff. Here's the thing. All of this stuff, the majority of the equipment that we use as voice actors, none of it was designed for voiceover. They're not sitting in some boardroom somewhere going, you know, we need to have a voiceover mic. We need to have a voiceover this. You know, we're an afterthought. I think the podcasting overcame that, too. People are like, oh, we got to have a podcasting mic now.
Growing up in the studio, and I think Cliff can agree with some of this, Poor us. All I had was tube 47s and tube 48s, Neumanns.
That's it. Yeah, a wall of them.
None of them were designed for voiceover. They were meant to capture music.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, I think people tend to get confused by that because they'll talk to recording engineers who record music and like, well, this is what I use. And they're like, right. Well, I've got to have that. But having it isn't the same as the 20, 30, 40 years of experience we have knowing how to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, hybriding the old with the new, you know, is very valuable.
Yeah, I'm one for two. If it's part of your experience, and you love it and you love gear and that gets you going, and can afford it, do it.
It's Dumbo's magic feather. Yeah,
it doesn't take away from needing to perform as well. You have to do both.
Of course.
But if that's something, you know, if you're a gearhead and that's part of your experience, then go for it. Get the good stuff. Learn how to use it and perform well.
Number one.
Those are first. You know, number three would be the gear, but go for it if you want to.
Have one of us dial it in for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
J. Horace Black asks, specifically for George, because you were talking about this a couple weeks ago, you mentioned an inexpensive webcam and stand for helping to get the eye line more centered when doing Zoom sessions. Do you have links for those items?
Unmute.
Buddy, unmute, has a George.
I'm going to find my mute button.
There it is.
Found it.
I haven't updated my links page in a while, but I will make a pledge to do that tonight. And so if you go to homevostudionow.com, that is my horror show of a link page, but you can go there and everything I usually recommend is on that page. And those will be on there also, I promise. So
that's great. I would like to know what that is too, George, because as a voice actor who attends a lot of Zoom workshops, I love my fellow voice actors, but man, a lot of you out there, I know it's hard to get webcams in the right spot, but some of your webcam angles are ridiculous. Like, I love y'all, but you, like, if you have someone, like, you know, I this is just sitting in my monitor right here, but if you can find a way to Velcro, yeah, like the top of your head, like, but not even that, like, I'm talking, you'll be in the frame, but some voice actors, it'll be like, and it'll look like this the whole time. And then they're like,
they're looking up their nose.
Like, they look like a little kid. There's this one guy, he always looks like a little boy, and he's probably in his 40s, but he's just like this, because his camera's like mounted to a ceiling or something. Just try to get it at eye line. It just looks so much more professional, but just a lot more natural, right? For you to engage with the casting director, like the people you're trying to get hired by. Just try to make, like, get a decent light. And I can't wait to hear what this stand is that George has, because I will happily recommend.
This is my eye line camera. I just rigged it up real quick. And yeah, it's just a $25 arm that you can clamp to the desk and then clamp your $20 webcam to it. And there's a million $20 webcams now. And this is a $20 webcam.
It looks great.
Not as accurate as the other one I'm using, obviously, but it's sharp. It doesn't focus. You don't have to worry about it auto-focusing. And, I'm telling you guys, there's a million $20 webcams on Amazon, but I will link the one I'm actually, using, try to make it easier.
I think we all look great on camera today.
We do. Talk to the green dot.
Anyway.
Instead of staring at yourself.
Yeah. Trinity is pagan. There's an interesting name. From YouTube, any recording software for Linux that you can recommend? I certainly don't want to use Mac, too. any of you guys into Linux at all?
Well, I have a Linux hat.
Yeah, I think
that. I like
Audacity. I'm pretty sure Audacity works on Linux.
You're driving a Linux, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's a Lexus. Never mind.
Yeah, Audacity. Audacity works on Linux.
I suggested Reaper in the chat.
Reaper works too.
Is Reaper Linux?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. Reaper's cool.
Yeah.
Reaper on Mac's cool.
I know a lot of people using Linux and stuff, are using Reaper. But but you know, it's like, well, I'm a snob about my operating system. They all sound the same. I don't quite get that. Second part of her question, tossing up between Rode NTG5 and the VO1A voiceover mic. Well, I'm talking on a VO1A right now. And I sound at least as good as you guys, I think. NTG5, George, is that, what are you using?
That's the shotgun, right?
Yeah, which one is that?
This is the NTG5.
Okay, yep. Well, she's comparing you versus me. What sounds better?
Sorry, we're both some processing, so it's going to be tough to really make a good judgment call on that. But okay, I'll play. I'll switch off my processing. All right, this is just the mic raw.
Now you're in my left channel.
Oh yeah, now you're out of phase.
I've been meaning to address this. This is going to be in my review for the Personas Eureka, Personas Revelator IO24. This happens.
Sounds good though.
I don't know why this happens when I turn off the processing. You would think turning on processing would cause weirdness, but if I turn it off, that's what happens. Turn it back on, and now it sounds normal again.
It's left, right.
In the middle again.
It's the MS thing going on.
It's really weird that it does that on that channel.
It's kind of cool with music.
The Rode NTG5 is a very nice alternative to a 416. It's not quite as bright and crispy. I have mine hyped up a little bit to sound a little bit more 4160. It's a darn good mic if you can get it, if they're in stock, if they're not on a boat.
How much, what's the price of that versus the $1,000 for the 416?
This is a $500 mic generally, unless you're paying a price gouge price on Amazon because it's not in stock or something. Yep.
I even said, but this might look, I look, is looks 416, but it's actually the Cinco D2. that I kind of bought it to try it, and it's you know, it's pretty good for $250.
Yeah, right? It's kind of flat.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, it's similar, but it's But it's been
Jordan,
it's been fine.
I want to hear this.
Go ahead. Jordan, go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna keep it real.
Please.
Well,
I know you will.
Like what George said, and it sounds like what Andrew's saying too. It's the Cinco D2. This is nothing against the, it's for $200. It's a fantastic sounding mic, but there are some comparisons out there that are like, oh, it's pretty much a 416. I cannot hear the difference, and it's just. Nope. And I'm not saying for my snobby audio ears. It just they're just because they're both shotguns and they're in the color black doesn't. I know it's not why they're saying that, but
it reacts a little different.
Has. This is the best way I could describe it. And I've had probably four or five audio clients who they've got a console with me and they want me to optimize their sound, and who have this mic and a great sounding room, right? From varying rooms, different voices, female, male, and all of them have had the same theme, which is. It, the best way I could describe it is that it just sounds like there's like a light paper towel over the whole thing. It is just so like.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can describe it. And
it's
I like
a lack
flat.
Of transparency.
But I like neutral, right? And transparent. That's all I talk about all the time. Like when I teach in my course, is like you want flat, neutral. But it is just so like, it doesn't even take EQ as good as I would want it. I even mixed a demo. Someone had it. Anyways, so it's not bad. I just want people to not think they're going to get really close to a 416 sound because it doesn't have the cut and the bite and the clarity that a 416 has.
The reason you use a 416. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So this room I'm in is a space people do auditions out of. And so it was like, I was like, oh, that's a great place to try it.
But for the money.
Yeah, for sure.
The noise floor is insane.
I think they're terrific for the money.
Yeah.
For a shotgun mic at that price, they're super quiet, but they're just really dull. They're just really dull. Yeah. For that price, if you don't have to go shotgun, if you're going to go for in that $200 range, I would get the Stellar X2. It's a large diaphragm condenser, so it's going to pick up more of your room, but that mic for the price, sounds so good. It doesn't have that. Yeah,
self noise is a little high on that, but
is
separate
it?
From that.
Oh, yeah. I need to get one of my hands on one. I thought the samples I've heard are really.
Oh, I'll give you mine. No, just no.
Speaking of rapid fire round, should we try to squeeze in one more question?
Yeah, let's see which one here.
Someone from rapid.
Seeing as all of you are demo producers, there's a great question here from Gerard McGuire. He says, "Demos, the fashion for VOs has changed." The non-VO voiceover is the non-voiceover voiceover, is often requested. Often you see, don't sound like an announcer, or relatable guy girl next door. Have you demo guys had to change your direction for the new fashion in announcer voiceovers? I mean, I have a regular commercial demo, which Cliff knows, and I have an announcer demo, where it's the styles are very, very different. What are you guys doing? What's really the hot thing that people are trying to get done right now, as far as demos are concerned? Cliff?
Well, first of all, rule number one, the read is determined by the script. All right, it depends on what you're talking about, and it depends upon the genre of voiceover. I think that I have seen a lot of sessions where the client says, we want conversational, we want boy next door, we want this, we want that. And as the session progresses, okay, that was great, but can you hit this a little bit harder? Okay, that was good, but can you give me a little rise here? Can you give me a little bit more than just that conversational read? So there's, whether they want to admit it or not, there's always that, especially if we're talking commercial, we have to be compelling. We're selling something. We want you to get excited about it. If I'm going to talk to you about something like this, you're not going to get that excited about it. Yeah. So, depending upon what the script calls for, every read is valid, be it announcer, automotive, goodness gracious, please. But COVID has softened a lot of what we do. We're not really hitting you quite so hard. A lot of the spots that I'm producing and writing are what can we do for you? How are we here to help you? But again, I think the general rule is the read is dictated by the script.
Yeah. Andrew?
Obviously we've all hear that on the scripts, conversational, non-announcer. It's like, I call it kind of voiceover conversational, right? Which is not quite conversational. It's not the, It's not the super, super soft, like just real, real, real read, which, you know, a good voice actor can just give that. And that's often not what they want. But the voiceover conversational, you know, you're selling something, but it's casual. And so they hear that, yeah, we want that voice. But then as what Cliff said, they ramp it up during the session.
Yeah.
But I find they want to hear the voiceover casual, the selling casualness mm-hmm. of it, because they'll pick you for that and then pump you up in the
yeah.
session.
Yeah. I see it all yeah. the time.
Yeah. yeah. Jordan. Yeah. And so.
Jordan, yeah. your thoughts on that?
No, I completely agree. It's really hard and confusing for newer voice actors. You know, it's something I've learned the hard way where, and it's only gotten worse as far as what they expect you conversational wise to audition as, to book it, and to also what they expect on your demo. There's this deep raw level, not every spot, but at least a few where they want it genuinely like how I'm just talking right now, where I'm just like, you know, I'm just talking like Cliff was like, oh my God, I like Cliff's vocal fry, by the way. but where, you know, if I'm just kind of talking like this, and you might have a spot where, you know, you're just kind of talking off the cuff and you might book a burger spot like this. And then you book the session because you've trained and spent all this money and you're so good at it. And then you get in the session and then they're like, yeah, punch this up a little. Oh, can you a little bit more energy? And then by the end, when us voice actors who didn't book that gig, who gave that really subdued read that was in the spec, then you hear it on a YouTube pre-roll ad and you're like, what the hell? That's super announcery. But the actor probably did it just as good as you did or better, even more neutral. And they pumped it up in the session. It happens yeah. all the time. Not as a experienced voice actor, but I've seen it. Cliff's seen it in sessions. I've seen it. I've ran this question past casting directors and agents. It's very common in commercials. So the expectations, you have to get the skill really good, but they're just going to more often than not hype it up in the session. It's kind of messed up because it feels like a waste sometimes. Like, why do I have the skill if we're not going to use it other than to get the job?
It's the basic. I think the one thing that we really have to stay away from here in 2020. Can you guys see that? It's a sine wave, right? Okay. This is not a sine wave. This is the conversational read killer for you and your family. Anytime you put in that, that will kill the conversational.
Sing songy.
Right? Yeah, but you know, if you're looking and try to avoid that, it's so 1995.
Too melodic.
But, yeah, that for you and your, if you're looking, yeah.
Don't hit the pronouns. Don't hit the ands. No. Don't hit the ors.
No.
We just flatten that out. Cliff knows better than anybody because automotive has such a range within itself.
So, oh, yeah.
And as he directs for his spots, then it comes down to what is the script, who is the dealer, what have they done in the past that's successful. I'd say to help you find that conversational read, put a pre-read on it. Hey Cliff, you know what? And then read the script. We'll keep it more conversational. Who are you talking to? Put that person's name. Talk to your cousin, the one that you like.
Yeah.
Another tip is when you get your script for the first time, print it out, sit in a chair, read it in your head 3 times. Don't read it out loud. Never read the script out loud. When you're laying in bed at night and you're reading your James Michener novel, you're reading it in bed. Perfect interpretation in your head. Sit down, quiet, read it in your head 3 times. I've heard coaches say, stand in front of a mirror. I mean, that's crazy. You know, how many distractions do you need? Hear it in your head first 3 times, then read it. It's going to be a lot smoother, a lot more conversational. And you already know where to go. Yeah. It's muscle memory.
Yeah. And on that note, that's going to bring our... our Audio Masters Roundtable 2021 to an end. Thanks to Jordan Reynolds and Andrew Feliciano, Uncle Roy Yokelson, and Cliff Zellman. All you guys are fabulous. I miss you all. We all got to get together soon. You know, there's guys out there I don't like, but you guys, I like all of you.
We're in the club.
We love you too.
All righty. All right, George and I will be right back to wrap things up right after this.
Wrap it up.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Hey there, it's David H. Lawrence the 17th. One of the things that I am most thankful for is a guy by the name of Patrick Tucker. who's that? He wrote Secrets of Screen Acting. And it's a book that changed my life, both as an on-camera talent and as a voiceover talent. I had a chance to do a podcast with him, 300 episodes of a podcast that will add to your knowledge base like crazy, whether you're doing on-camera, voiceover, or both. It usually sells for $279, but for the next week, week and a half or so, it's yours for $149. So that's nearly 50% off, but I'm going to sweeten the deal. I'm going to give you the actual book, Secrets of Screen Acting, and the audiobook for Secrets of Screen Acting. All of those things will benefit both your on-camera work if you do that, and certainly your voice work if that's all you do. Go to voheroes.com/cyber. That's voheroes.com/cyber. It's a limited time offer. Do so soon, and I hope that helps.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
And we're back to say goodbye. You know, it's December already, George. I mean, believe it or don't, this is the worst time of the year for me. I mean, it's great, but Thanksgiving, my anniversary on the 27th, my wife's birthday on December 5th, and my birthday on December 28th. It can be a very pressure-packed time of the year here.
Ugh. Oy vey. Is that the appropriate time to say that?
Exactly.
On Monday, I can say that.
That's true. Anyway, next week on this show, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but we'll have another great guest on here, although it's going to be tough to beat that last hour. That's a great bunch of guys.
Going out on a high note.
Who are our donors this week?
Oh, boy. We got so many good ones. I got to go find them again because I got too many browser tabs open here.
Why'd you close all those windows?
Man, I got too much going on. Shauna Pennington Baird. She was in the chat tonight. I'm hoping I'm saying her name right after all these years. And yes, Icon Productions, Martha Kahn, Don Griffith, Stephen Chandler, Sandra Manwiller, Robert Leadham, Uncle Roy? You're still sending us money?
Okay. Yeah, what a guy.
He knows we're going to say his name. That's why he sends us money every week. It's top of mind, folks. We say your name every episode. You never know where your name's going to stick in someone's brain. Yeah, I heard that name on the end of VOBS. Yeah. I don't know if anybody's ever said that they got cast that way. But anyway, it's worth a few bucks.
Yeah. Tonight, we need to remind you that George and I do this as a profession, like our guest tonight as well. If you need help with your home voiceover studio and you would like to work with Mr. Whittam, where do they go? They go to...
Well, especially this week, they got to go to georgethe.tech/Cyber Monday, because when you see this, this airs right on Cyber Monday or the night before.
Yeah.
And now's your chance to grab some deals at georgethe.tech/Cyber Monday. So that's where you go to find me. Dan, where do they go to find you?
They go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com. I know it's there somewhere. Come on, Sue. There it is. Yay. Right there, homevoiceoverstudio.com. Happy to help you out. Love talking to people one-on-one and teaching you what you need to know to record properly. We need to thank our sponsors. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VO Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com. And JMC Demos. Our thanks to Jeff Holman for doing a great job in the chat room tonight. Lots of great questions. Lots of people watching, and that we love having you here when we do it live. If you're watching in replay, just as good. You get the same information. Our one and only technical director is the one and only Sue Merlino. Thanks, Sue, for getting it done tonight. And Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You know, getting into voiceover is not easy. Once you're in it, it's not easy. But when it comes to your audio, if it sounds good...
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. See you next week. Have a wonderful week.